Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast brought us once again to this place. Just a few hours ago, I was standing on this platform, uniting two fine young people in wedlock. I have stood here for many, many occasions, for many different purposes. But my favorite purpose to stand here is to preach to my people. And I pray today that I'll be what they need. It's impossible for one man to know the needs of all the people, but it is not impossible for Thee, our great God. And so take the loaves and fishes that I have to offer and feed the multitudes today. In Jesus' name, amen. Job was in the ash heap of the city. He had lost his wealth. He had lost his health. He had lost his children, all 10 of them. He had lost his friends. He had lost the loyalty of his wife. And Job made an interesting statement. He said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." What Job said there is this. Job said, "I was afraid of fear. I was afraid of being afraid." I want to speak this morning on that subject. Don't be afraid of being afraid. You'll find almost that same statement when Isaiah prophesied to the people of God. The word confederacy is mentioned. The Samaritans, the people from Samaria and Syria, had joined in together and had formed a conspiracy to destroy the people of God and the man of God. And God said through Isaiah these words, "Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy." And get this statement, "Neither fear ye their fear." What he said was, "Isaiah, don't you be afraid to be afraid." I hope you listen carefully this morning. I want to talk to you on that subject. Don't be afraid to be afraid. I was sitting in what was called the sweat shed. Now, only a few people in this room know what I'm talking about. The sweat shed is a term known to paratroopers. When you're going to jump, at least the days when I was a paratrooper back in the 1850s, when we were going to jump, they would take us and put us in a place called the sweat shed. It was a place of sawdust on the floor. It looked like a barn as far as the side and the ceiling was concerned. And it had sort of slat benches. And they would put you there just before you boarded the plane. In just a few minutes, you'll board the airplane. In just a few minutes, it'll go up to about 800 to 1,200 feet. In just a few minutes, the sergeant will say, "Stand up and hook up." In just a few minutes, he'll say, "Check equipment and count off," and then stand in the door and then ready to jump. And you know what's going to happen. You know that you're about to jump out of an airplane with nothing but a skirt on your back, a little piece of silk on your back, about the size of a big skirt, about a size 22. And now what they would do, and I understand this, but they'd play the most morbid music you can understand. Looks like they played something happy, but they always played real, sobering, sad, morbid music. I was about to make my first jump. I had never landed in an airplane. Never had. I had never landed. In fact, I'd never flown an airplane. I'm almost sure about that. Let me think this through now. I'll check it. I'll write you and I'll tell you. But I don't think I'd ever flown an airplane at that time. Almost sure I hadn't. So the first, I never had. I just checked. I won't have to write you now. But my first airplane flight. That's scary enough. You folks that are never flown in an airplane, that first flight. But the flight, the takeoff, did not bother me as much as the landing was going to bother me, because I was going to land with a parachute on my back. Now, I got to reasoning. I was scared, but I got to reasoning. Now, here, follow me carefully. Here's my reasoning. I reason, no paratrooper has ever been killed on this jump field. That's what they told us. No paratrooper has ever been killed on this jump field. There have been tens and thousands and probably hundreds of thousands of paratroopers jump on this jump field. So I know I'm not going to be killed. I know that. I reasoned that. And I said to myself, Jack, and I said, what? And I said, what are you afraid of? And Jack said to me, I don't think I'm afraid of being killed. What are you afraid of? And it dawned on me, I was afraid of fear. I was afraid of the fear accompanied with jumping. Now, wait a minute. There is a fear accompanying jumping out of an airplane. If you are looking out the door of an airplane and your hands are just sticking outside the door, and there's nothing but a piece of folded up silk on your back, and a sergeant behind you who weighs twice as much as you do, encouraging you to leave the premises, and you've never looked down, in fact, you're not supposed to look down, but you've never looked down before, you don't know what fear really is. To this day, I can fly an airplane and not get scared, but if I go on the balcony of an upstairs apartment, I get scared to death. I wouldn't do it without a parachute. No way. But I reason. I was sitting there in that sweatshed. Now, wait a minute. I was 18 years old. You know what I'd do if I was 18 years old again? I'd stay 18 years old the rest of my life. I've been thinking lately about this off the subject, but I, you know, the work I'm in is sort of complicated. There are a lot of troubles and complications and all money to raise and organization and battles to fight. I've been talking to the staff. If there is reincarnation, I've been thinking about what I'd like to be. I thought about, I might like to be a fellow who gives you change at the toll gate. He has no problems at all. None. I may be that in the next life. Then I thought, no, in airports they have little carts that take old people to the gates on and people that are crippled. I thought, no, I'd like to drive on those little carts. But I passed on that, and I finally made my decision. I want to be a guard who helps little boys and girls across the street at a dead-end street. If there is reincarnation, I don't want to go through all this stuff I've gone through this time. I want to be one of those three things, but preferably I want to be a guard who helps little boys and girls across the street that's not there. Now back to what I was saying. That had nothing to do with the sermon, but I needed your attention. I wasn't getting it the other way. So I got to reasoning with myself. Now, and by the way, I was afraid to jump. I was. And the second jump, I was more afraid than I was on the first jump. And each jump I made, I got more fearful. You fellows that are ex-paratroopers know what I'm talking about. But in sitting there in the sweatshed, I wasn't afraid of death. I was afraid of fear. And that's what God is saying here to Isaiah and his people. The enemy's going to come. You can't stop them from coming. They're going to come. Now he said, save your fear for the battle. Don't be afraid of the fear. See, being afraid of fear is non-productive. But going ahead and doing what you're supposed to do, even though you're afraid while you do it, that is productive. And so I got reasoning, and I said, I'm gonna jump. Now, I'll be afraid to jump, but by cracky, I'm sorry, but amen, I said, I'm not going to be afraid of being afraid. And that's what Isaiah said. But, you see, if you're afraid of being afraid, then you won't do anything. Now, if you're afraid of doing something, you'll do it even though you're afraid. But if you fear fear, you won't do anything, because if you fear fear, you won't fear. You don't want to fear. And so you won't go on. But if you say, I'm not going to be afraid to be afraid,
Now, yeah, I know one thing. I'm going to be afraid, but I'm willing to be afraid because while I'm being afraid of doing something, I'll be doing something. So jump on in. The water's fine. That's what he's saying here. Job said, I was afraid of being afraid. And that was worse than being afraid of what was going to come upon me. Illustration again. And this is an old one I've used, but I want to reapply it. It has to do with flying also. I was in Norfolk, Virginia. I was afraid to fly. I do not think I'd ever... I had never landed yet in an airplane. I was out of the Army. I was pastoring a church, but I was afraid to fly. I really was. I associated flying with jumping. And I was afraid if I flew somewhere, I'd have to jump out halfway on the trip. And I was afraid mainly because I had never flown without a parachute on the back. I never could understand why they don't give everybody on an airplane a parachute. I never understood that. I mean, you're up there, and if the thing goes down, you're going to go down. That's a profound statement. You might want to write that down. But you're going to go down. And so I said, I was in Norfolk, Virginia. I'd preached a couple of days there. This is 34 years ago. 7 million miles ago, air miles ago. And there came a snowstorm. The biggest snowstorm in the history of Norfolk, as they said. 10 inches of snow on the ground and still falling. Well, I had to leave on a Friday night to catch a plane for Washington, D.C. And then change planes in Washington, D.C. and fly on to Dallas, and where I was pastoring there near Dallas in Garland, Texas. I went out to the airport and I thought nobody's going to take off, so I wasn't scared at all. No plane's going to take off in this snowstorm. I sat out there and an announcement came over the PA. Flight number so-and-so to Washington, D.C. is now boarding. The only flight that will take off tonight. Would you believe it? Of all those people sitting there waiting for many flights, mine was the only one going to take off in the snowstorm. I was scared to death. I mean, literally scared to death. I went to the telephone and I called Greyhound Bus Lines to see if they had a bus going to Washington, D.C. And I said, I want to go to Washington, D.C. tonight. I want a bus. They said, no buses. I said, all the highways are closed. Buses and cars, you can't get through from Norfolk to Washington. Oh, my soul. I was scared to death. So I got on the airplane and I was trembling. But it dawned on me all of a sudden what I had in my pocket. I had some stomach trouble a few months before, and a little spastic kind of a stomach condition. And the doctor gave me some phenobarbital tablets to take. Now, one of those will make you drowsy. Two will make you more drowsy. And three will make you to where you don't give a flip what happens to you. So I went in the restroom of that airplane. Now, get this. This is Dr. Jack Hiles, man of faith. I went into the restroom. And I took three of those phenobarbital tablets. I said, boy, with the time this plane takes off, I'll have taken off by myself before the plane takes off. So I went and had a seat there on the airplane. Fellow right beside me, Nick, I was sitting in the aisle seat. Fellow beside me looked over and said, aren't you Dr. Jack Hiles? I said, yes, sir. He said, boy, put her there. Am I ever glad to see you? I said, thank you, sir. He said, you're a great man of God. You won't believe what I'm going to tell you. But I was afraid to fly on this airplane. I said, no, you wouldn't. He said, yes, I was. He said, that isn't all. He said, I hate to even admit this to a great man of God like you, but I called the Greyhound bus terminal to see if they had buses going to Washington, D.C. You did, I said. He said, that isn't all. He said, I just got back from the men's room. I took some tranquilizers in the men's room a while ago. I said, pardon me, please. I went back to the men's room. I looked at myself and I said, nobody has ever been killed on a flight from Norfolk, Virginia to Washington, D.C. Nobody. So I'm not afraid to die, of dying. I'm afraid of being afraid of dying. And I said, as long as you are afraid to fly and afraid to be afraid to fly, you're not ever going to mount anything as far as helping this country. If you're going to influence this country, you have got to get over this fear of being afraid of flying. And it dawned on me, I wasn't afraid of dying because the honest, simple truth is nobody had ever been killed on a flight, and thousands of flights and tens of thousands and no doubt hundreds of thousands of people had flown from Washington, D.C. to Norfolk and Norfolk to Washington. But I was afraid to be afraid. And that's your problem. You see, you don't do anything because you're afraid you'll be afraid while you do it. Now, folks are afraid to be afraid, never do anything. Folks are afraid to do everything. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in the fire furnace. I don't think they said, hot dog, we're going to have a big time. God's going to put out the fire. No. I think they held their nose and closed their eyes and said, this is it. I think they were afraid. And there's nothing wrong with being afraid. Hey, did you know when Jesus said, when the angel came and announced the coming of Jesus, you know the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You know what that word fear means? That word fear means don't run or flee. It's an active word. Don't run or flee. That angel was saying, hold it, don't be afraid to be afraid. Don't run. I'm going to tell you something startling. But the word fear, most of the times in the New Testament, the word fear means being afraid of being afraid. God knows we're going to fear, but listen, people that fear, while they do, change the world. People that are afraid to fear what they do, don't do anything. And so, what God is saying to His people here, in Isaiah 8:12, He's saying, okay, a confederacy is formed against you, a conspiracy. Syria and Samaria have joined hands in battle against you. But God said, He said, you're going to be afraid. When you fight them, you're going to be afraid. When you get in the battle, you're going to be afraid. Well, of course you are. But he said, that's not wrong. He said, be afraid while you do something, but don't be afraid to be afraid or you never do anything. And there are people all over this house this morning who are doing nothing because you're afraid of being afraid. This is more recent. I was sitting waiting to preach in Flagstaff, Arizona, a week ago, this past Thursday night, at the nationwide ACE convention, a big coliseum that seats 10,000 people. It was about half filled, and I was afraid. And here's why: because since the battle, big battle that started back yonder in May, a year ago, this past May. I've preached at churches and I've preached at places where I knew they wanted me, but a convention or two I canceled out because I didn't want to embarrass the folks invited me. So I called Dr. Howard, who's head of the ACE convention, ACE meeting, and I said, Dr. Howard, I'm not going to preach this year. In fact, it was first of May, and I was supposed to preach the last of May, and I said, I'm not going to preach this year. He said, Dr. Howard, I want you to preach. I'm your friend. I want you to preach. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. The crowd may be divided about me, but I'm not going to do it. He said, okay, promise me this. Promise me you'll preach next year at the National ACE Convention. And I said, okay, I'll do that. Well, to my delight, when he announced that I was not going to be there, there was a quiet over the thousands of people. And then Dr. David Gibbs was there. He said, when he announced Dr. Tiles has promised to come next year, he said they stood in a standing ovation and clapped. But still, I was afraid. I wasn't there last year. I've been there 11 consecutive years, that big convention, and to speak to thousands of people. But I was afraid. I really was. I've never in my life dreaded to preach anywhere like I did a week ago this past Thursday night. And I sat there in that big coliseum and I had a little program for about an hour of contest winners and so forth before I spoke. And I sat there and my hands were clammy. And I'm not like that. I'm never afraid. Good night. I've preached almost 49,000 times. I'm never afraid to preach. I mean, I'm as at home right now as you ladies are in your church kitchen. Church kitchen. I'm as at home right now as you ladies are in your kitchen home. Or I'm as at home right now as you men are while you wash dishes at home. Dr. Streeter's checked my blood pressure when I finish preaching. Before I preach, my blood pressure is always less when I finish preaching, that is, before I preach, because I'm at home. But I was afraid. And I sat there that night and I said to myself, now, I've got to analyze this thing. What am I afraid of? Am I afraid that God is not going to be with me? No, I'm not afraid of that. I know God will be with me. Am I afraid that we'll not have a great service? No, I'm not afraid of that because I know that God's power is upon me. I know that. And no doubt about that. God's power came on my ministry back yonder when I was just a lad of a boy, and His power has been there all these years. And I said, I have no doubt. Am I doubting God's power will be upon me while I preach? No, I'm not doubting that. Am I doubting the fact that God will bless me? No, I'm not doubting that. Am I doubting the promises of God? And I sat there waiting for an hour, and I reasoned myself, and I said, I'm not afraid of preaching. I may be afraid to stand up, but I know God will bless me, and I know God's going to give us a great service, and I know that God's going to help me preach, and I know that God's power is on me. What am I afraid of? And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I'm afraid of the fear of walking up there on that platform. I'm afraid of the fear. I'm afraid to be afraid. And it dawned on me. Nobody ever does anything that's afraid of being afraid. The fellow who says, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, I'll be afraid while I do it, but I'm not going to be afraid of being afraid, that's the guy that gets the job done. And that's why God blessed little Israel so much. All through these years, that little country over there on the slope of the Mediterranean Sea, that is where the other countries had tried to push them off into the Mediterranean Sea all these years, that little bunch of courageous people, that little nation of Israel all these years, they've been afraid. They fought for their lives. And God told them here, He said, you'll have to fight for your life. And they said, okay, we'll be afraid while we'll do it. But we're not going to sit here and not do it because we're afraid to be afraid. It's exactly what God is saying. What is it you're supposed to do? You folks have just come to college here, and you just landed here. I mean, you're apprehensive. And that's the Greek word for scared to death. I mean, you're scared. What are you scared of? Well, you've got God's promises He'll see you through college. My God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You doubt that? No, you know He's going to do it. Well, but the Bible said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Do you doubt that? No. You know God's going to see you through it. So it's not the fear of God failing you that... And by the way, I walked up to preach that Thursday night. Well, I never saw a better service in my life. I couldn't believe it. Of that crowd of several thousand people, over half of the people in that crowd walked the aisle and gave their lives to full-time Christian service. Over 2,000 people, Dr. Howard said, the greatest of all the 13 times I preached at the National ACE Convention, the greatest service you ever had. And I wasn't surprised when God did it. And, but the thing that I wanted to run. You know why I wanted to run? Was I afraid to preach? Of course I wasn't afraid to preach. Was I afraid that God would not bless me? Of course I was not afraid of that. Was I afraid that I would fail? Of course I was not afraid of that. I was afraid of the fear. Let me tell you something. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Now, I'm not saying you won't be afraid. When Daniel went in the lion's den, I don't think Daniel said, boy, oh boy, I can't wait for this. I've been wanting to pet a lion for a long time. I don't think so. Every once in a while I hear some young fellow preach, usually he's young and knows so much then. Usually he's young. Hey, he said, old Daniel said, come on here, Leo. Let you and I have a little fellowship. I don't think he said that at all. I think Daniel held his nose and closed his eyes and said, here goes something. He was scared. But he wasn't scared to be scared. He wasn't afraid to be afraid. Listen, anybody that does anything's afraid. If a battle I've ever fought, I've been afraid during the battle, but that's productive. If you're afraid while you fight and afraid while you serve, that's productive. But those people sit back and say, well, I'm afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid to be afraid. You never fight. You never go forward. You sit and do nothing. Why? You're afraid to be afraid. That's what Isaiah is saying. He's saying, accept fear. He's saying, be willing to be afraid. Fear... as fear of fear is bad. Fear, as fear of what you're doing, is not bad. It's natural. Because fear of what you're doing will not keep you from doing it. But fear of fear will keep you from doing it. So go ahead and do what you're supposed to do and keep on going. Illustration. My little mother got up to be 75 years old, I guess. Maybe about 75, 76. She gave up. Christmas Day. My sister and my mother lived together. They came over to our house Christmas Day. Mother had given up. She said, I just can't do anything. I just can't do anything. That's not, by the way, some of you folks that have that, you think you're being humble. No, you're not. You're being scared. That's all. I can't do anything. And life is over. And nobody needs me. I said, Mama, you are needed too. She's in a wheelchair. She wouldn't even walk. 75 or so years old. Wouldn't even walk. And she said, I'm afraid. We're sitting there in the house, and we opened our Christmas presents. And I gave Mother her present for me. You know what it was? It was a round-trip airplane ticket to Dallas, our hometown. And it was seven nights in a Holiday Inn. And I can see Mother now. Well, what's this? What's this? And I said, Mother, you don't know this, but you and Earlene are going to Dallas tomorrow on an airplane. Oh, son, I couldn't go. I said, you're going to go. You and Earlene, you're going to go tomorrow. Oh, but son, I'm in a wheelchair. Well, I still got chairs on airplanes, Mama. You're going to go. Oh, but son, I probably would die down there. Well, I said, Mama, they got cemeteries and funeral homes down there. And the truth is, back in those days, we didn't have a cemetery here. And I said, Mama, we'll probably bury you down there anyway. So if you're going to go down there to get buried, won't you ride in the first class section rather than the luggage section down there? Well, I'm afraid. Son, I couldn't make the trip. I said, you're going to make the trip, Mom. I don't care whether you do. You're going to make the trip. Next morning, at the airport, she walked to the gate, got on the airplane, flew to Texas. Broke me, but she flew to Texas. My sister, mother, she stayed a week. She came back. She didn't die down there. She came back. If I had known how long she was going to live, I'd never started that. I sent my mama and my sister twice a year, wasn't it? Twice every year. I'm sure 18, 20 years more. Twice every year. Cost me tens of thousands of dollars, that stupid one little present I gave her. I wish I'd have said, Mama, you can't do anything. And to this day, I send my sister twice a year, pay her expenses. I wish she'd die, but I'm tired of paying. But anyway, I'm saying, Mama, for 18 or 20 years, she took two trips. I'm talking about 35 to 40 trips. And she said, I couldn't take one. She took 30. What was wrong with Mother? She's afraid to be afraid. She knew she wouldn't crash on that airplane. And she knew she wouldn't die in a Holiday Inn. She knew she wouldn't. But she was afraid to be afraid. Let me tell you something. Nobody ever does anything that's afraid of fear. I don't mind you being afraid of what you're doing. But don't be afraid of doing it. Don't mind you being afraid while you do it, but don't be so afraid you don't do it. Anybody does anything for God's going to be afraid. First sermon I ever preached, I was afraid. First time I went to a deacon's meeting, I was afraid. Come to think of it, the last time I went to a deacon's meeting, I was afraid. I spent my life doing things I was afraid while I was doing it, but I did it. Why? I was supposed to do it. I'm not telling you I'm not afraid. I'm not telling you that things don't make me scared. They do. But bless your little heart. I am going to do what I'm supposed to do. If I've got to hold my nose while I do it and close my eyes while I do it, I'm not going to sit and do nothing because I'm afraid of being afraid. By the way, there's nothing as overrated quite as being afraid. Not too bad to be afraid. Man, you talk about fun. When we landed on that first jump, on that first airplane jump, parachute open, you never saw silk so pretty in your life. Looked up there and saw it. I looked over and waved at my buddy, Johnson from Trinity, Texas. Hey, Johnson! He said, hey, Jack! I said, Johnson, nothing to it, was there? Brother, if you never do anything, you'll never be afraid. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You'll never reap in joy till you sow in tears. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Until you get to the place where you're willing to jump out. Life is a chance and a gamble. Jump out! Take a chance on life! Don't be afraid of doing something. Be afraid while you do something. God looked down to Job and said to Job, or Job looked up and said, I was afraid of being afraid. And God looked down to his people facing the conspiracy on the way. Was not there yet, but on the way. As the Syrian people and Sumerian people were coming together down upon little Israel. And God said, I don't blame you when you get in the battle for being afraid. Of course you're going to be afraid. Every soldier who's ever gone to battle has been afraid. Everybody that's ever launched a rocket's been afraid. Everybody that's ever flown a bombing mission's been afraid. Every infantryman that's ever gone through a jungle's been afraid. But bless God, World War II was won not by people who were afraid of being afraid, but by people who are afraid to do what they did, but they did what they're supposed to do. My mother was afraid to die. And I'd say to her, Mother, are you going to heaven? Yes. Well, as soon as you die, you're going to heaven? Yes. Is heaven better than here? Yes. Well, what are you afraid of? I know what she's afraid of. She's afraid of being afraid. She's scared to be scared. But she came to the place when she came to die, you never saw a more beautiful death in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that God has put you on earth to do. And none of them is going to be easy. Every battle that you fight is an uphill battle. And every bit of progress that you make is swimming upstream. I don't care who you are, if you're a mountain thing, you're going to have opposition, you're going to have battles, you're going to have heartaches. You say, Brother Hus, I just don't want to get in the battle. No, sir, get in the battle. But you say, I'll be afraid. Okay, be afraid. But you'll accomplish something if you're afraid and do what you're supposed to do while you're afraid. So go ahead and do it. Then you exchange the fear of fear for fear. The minute you start what you're afraid to do, you change unproductive fear for productive fear. You understand what I'm saying? Unproductive fear for productive fear. The minute you do the thing you're afraid to do. Now, I will tell you something. You never do what you're afraid to do, you'll never mount anything. Never. Well, I'm afraid I can't pass my grades. Well, go on and study and see what you can do. Don't sit back and say, I won't go to school because I'm afraid I'll fail. In the first place, get in there and jump in there and do what you're supposed to do. The world has been transformed by people who are afraid of what they were doing. Lives have been changed by people afraid of what they're doing. Somebody had to fly the first flight. Well, I was on the first jet that flew from Chicago to Atlanta, Georgia. Flight number one, I think it was, or six. I think it was one. Delta Airlines jet. I was on that thing. First Delta Airlines flight that had flown jet flight from Chicago years ago. Jets were brand new. The pilot said to the intercom, said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Delta flight number one from Chicago to Atlanta. This new jet plane has not flown this trip before, but you have nothing to worry about. This is the best equipment known to mankind. He said, just relax. Be at ease. We know what we're doing. You have the best trained pilots. You have the best plane in the world. There's no danger. Just relax and enjoy the flight. But when he finished talking to us, he forgot to turn the intercom off. And he said to the co-pilot, come on, Joe, let's see if we can get this big blankety blank off the ground. But somebody's got to fly the first flight. Somebody's got to be the pioneer. Somebody's got to be the Lewis and Clark. Somebody's got to be the Benjamin Franklin. Somebody's got to be the one that does something. While you're afraid to do it, do it, do it, do it. I challenge you young people today, do what you're afraid to do. But don't be afraid to be afraid to do it. You know that's why most of you who are not saved aren't saved? You want to go to heaven when you die. You know that if you trust Jesus, He'll take you to heaven when you die. You know that, no doubt about that. And you aren't afraid of being saved or afraid of being saved. You're afraid of being afraid. You're afraid to walk the aisle. I was 11 years old nearly when I got saved, and I wanted to get saved when I was 6 or 7. But I did not get saved for 4 or 5 years because I was afraid of water. I knew that preacher never drowned anybody. I'd sit out there for years and watch that big old fellow, 6'4" tall, big giant of a fellow. He could have baptized with one finger. About the size of Joe Boyd or bigger than Joe Boyd. I knew, and I was a little guy, just a little kid, almost 11 years old. And back then I was 6 and 7, 8, 9 and 10. I wouldn't get baptized. I was afraid of water. Was I afraid I'd drown? No. Was I afraid the preacher couldn't care for me? No. I was afraid of the fear of being baptized, and that's why a lot of you aren't saved. Get up off your seat this morning. Walk down this aisle and say, with the grace of God, I'm going to trust Jesus as my Savior. And I promise you, the fear of it will not be as bad as the fear of the fear of it. Let me challenge you today. Let me challenge you. Do something in life. Let me challenge you. Life is a gamble as far as man's concerned. Life is a chance. You'll never do anything until you're willing to take the chance. Launch out. Do what you're supposed to do. But I think I'll be afraid. Well, go ahead and be afraid. Look, you're going to be afraid anyway. If you're afraid of being afraid, you're just as afraid if you're afraid of doing something. So why don't you do productive fear rather than unproductive fear? If you're going to be afraid of anyway, amount to something while you're being afraid. Do something for you with your life. Don't just sit there and squander your life and eat popcorn while you watch the Chicago Bulls. Don't just stand there and eat a sandwich or put more nuts on your chocolate sundae while you're watching the latest soap opera. Get up off your blessed assurance. Get out yonder. There's a world that needs to be saved. There are missions to be done. There are worlds to be conquered. There are battles to be fought. There are victories to be won. There are things to be done. Get up and do something for God. But I think I'll be afraid. Well, of course you'll be afraid. And it hadn't been a week in the 43 years I've been pastoring, I haven't been afraid. Bless your little heart. I'm not going to be one of those guys that dies one of these days and spends my whole life being afraid to be afraid. God said to His people, the battle's on the way. It's coming. I know what the Israelites thought. They thought we should come on now. Get over with. The waiting for the battle is the hard part. God said, don't be afraid to be afraid. He said, when they come, fight the battle. Roll up your sleeves and fight it out. But He said, don't you be afraid to be afraid. This morning, if you're not saved, you get up. You walk down this aisle in a few minutes. You give your heart to Jesus Christ and take Him as your Savior. This morning, if you're not living for God, don't you be afraid to be afraid. You walk down this aisle and get on your knees before God and say, dear God, I'm giving my life to You. I'm not going to waste my life. This morning, if God's called you to do something, and you know He has, but you're afraid to do it because you're afraid of the fear that's going to come, get on down here on your knees this morning and say, with the grace of God, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. God didn't put me here in life just to enjoy it and eat and drink, be merry and go to and play and go to work and come home and watch TV and snack and go to bed and get up and eat and go to work and come home and watch TV and snack. God put me here to do something, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to live and die and not do the thing that God's put me here to do. Don't be afraid to be afraid. Our Heavenly Father,